Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking to Robert Whitlow. He's a practicing attorney, which means he brings all kinds of realistic and details and dialogue to his stories. He's got all kinds of award-winning legal dramas, some of which have been made into movies. I'm going to be talking with him today about his latest book. It's called A House Divided. Robert, welcome to Life Quest.
Thanks for having me on, Dwight. I appreciate the chance.
How did this particular book of yours come about?
Well, I had thought for a number of years that I would want to write a story about a kind of a family of lawyers. I mean, you can imagine such a thing. So with a father, a son, daughter, some kind of scenario like that. And then as I thought about that whole concept, I was looking, well, what's going to be their issue? You know, because you got to have a problem to have a book. And I decided that it was going to be alcoholism. And so the main character in the story is a lawyer in his 60s that's been an alcoholic for many years, and his wife, actually his ex-wife, has just died, and his marriage, of course, was destroyed along because of the alcoholism. And so he gets involved in a toxic tort lawsuit for a couple of young boys in their little community that have gotten very sick, and allegedly due to some groundwater contamination from a big company, kind of an Aaron Brockovich scenario. And so you often go with that with the case, and then you've also got the dynamic of his son and daughter, both of whom were lawyers, and they're the adult children of alcoholics, which, you know, that carries its own set of baggage and problems and issues.
This book, as much as I've read so far, is, which is very interesting, and I'm enjoying it, faith is involved in it. Unless you're personally involved in some of the problems here, that yourself, you must have had to do some research, though I suppose in your legal practice, you've come across the results of alcoholism.
Yeah, I mean, both of those things are accurate. You know, I've represented a lot of people with addiction problems and have encouraged them to participate in programs, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous in the past. But I tell you, doing the research that I did for this novel and listening to some, you know, kind of national speakers, I was blown away. I was personally deeply affected by both the power of what they had to say about their journeys and about what takes place in terms of the fellowship of AA. And over, I would hear this phrase, you know, I'm here today because of the grace of God and the fellowship of AA. And I mean, I'll tell you, man, I was personally inspired by what I heard and learned. And I went to an AA meeting here in Charlotte, and there was the topic of the day was forgiveness. And I mean, people just went around the room, and I mean, I was hearing things that, I mean, it was a takeaway for me. I mean, I remember what was said that day. So it was a very, very personally impactful journey for me writing this story. And, you know, my hope is that, you know, readers are going to pick it up, and they're going to be able to enter into that same kind of emotional commitment to it, not just, you know, being detached.
As an attorney, I am assuming that you've had clients with various type of situations that are there as an indirect or a direct result of alcohol-related problems.
Yeah, I have. And, and you know, I've always, you know, been aware that, you know, people need help and resources. But I did not realize as much until I started working on this, the, you know, the Christian foundation for a lot of the, for the 12 steps themselves and for the development of AA back in the 1930s. And there was a Christian movement really back in the 20s and 30s called the Oxford Group. And a lot of the things that are incorporated in AA were kind of formulated in a Christian context by those folks. So, you know, I mean, when you read the 12 steps from that point of view, you can see, wow, you know, I can see there's, you know, confession, there's forgiveness, you know, there's acknowledgement of need, there's a recognition of God and, you know, the essential role that he plays for us to have a life that's, you know, fulfilled and worth living. So there's just a lot of good stuff out there.
We're affected, all of us in our culture, by what we see on television and in movies and in advertisements. And alcohol's a big deal in our society. Sometimes, though, the results of alcoholism is not portrayed as clearly in the cinema or in things that we read. It just is a part of people's daily lives. You're describing in your book, A House Divided, a lot of very specific things.
Yeah, I mean, you really raise a good point. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, and you would see alcohol on a film or a TV show, it was kind of a sloppy, funny drunk, mm-hmm. you know. That was often yeah. what was portrayed. And, you know, that's not, you know, the reality. And, you know, the effect of alcoholism is, I mean, it's ripple effects throughout, you know, everything around you. And, of course, for some, sometimes those ripples are tsunamis in terms of the impact they have on other people. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a serious problem. And, but yet there are, you know, some real proven, you know, avenues for recovery. And, you know, there's a message of hope out there.
Right.
And that's, I mean, boy, wouldn't we be in a mess if that wasn't the case, but that is the case. And so I'm very grateful for that. And as that unfolded in the story, I was kind of relieved myself with the main character, and I'm not giving any big thing away. I mean, he finally admits that first step of Alcoholics Anonymous is that we admit we're powerless over alcohol, and
yeah.
our lives have become unmanageable. And when he finally admits that, I came down. I've been writing that. I told my wife, I was so relieved that Corbin had finally admitted he was an alcoholic.
I hear you.
I said, there's hope.
Yeah, I know. It's glad that popped out of your own mind. But the fact is that, unfortunately, it starts at an early age with many young people, and certainly
yeah.
at underage, and,
yeah,
it
you know,
builds up.
Yeah, that is so. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because one thing that I had not realized, and I mean, this is not universal, but it is very common, is that a lot of alcoholics can remember their first drink.
Hmm.
Because there was something that just felt right.
I see.
It just, and there was some kind of a need that they had that, you know, unfortunately, you know, alcohol, you know, filled that need, at least
right.
to a degree that they thought it would. You know, and so, you know, then they're like, wow, well, I want to feel alive. I want to feel whole. I want to feel right. And so, you know, they look for that because that's where they found it. And I had no idea that that was the case, but it is. It's very common. And so, you know, part of what needs to take place is just a hard recognition that, well, regardless of what that made me feel, of course, you know, as time goes on, that's an elusive
yeah.
thing to try to recap, and that's not where I'm going to find what I'm really needing in my life, and that's really where God comes in, you know, because he's the only one that can really fill that void in a way that's, you know, complete and whole and healthy.
I have four daughters, and we never had alcohol in our home, but one of my daughters got involved in substance abuse, including alcohol. And I remember her mother and I had to attend with her, you know, the Serenity Lane was this particular rehab place. And our daughter had to listen to how we as parents described the effect of her lifestyle on the rest of the family. And of course, that's part of your story, is that there is this ripple effect that goes on and on to many others. It's just not a solo individual thing.
That's right. And you know, there's a companion organization, AA, called Al-Anon, which is for family members of people with addiction problems. And one of my law partners is in Al-Anon, and he was very, very helpful in offering me perspective. And, in fact, he reviewed the manuscript because before I sent it to the publisher, because, you know, this is not part of my own personal journey. I was having to just, you know, create this. And I wanted to do it in a way, though, that was credible.
Sure.
And he and his wife gave some very good suggestions about, hey, this doesn't really jive with, you know, what we've seen and known. So my hope is that, of course, everybody's story is unique, but then there's also everybody's story also, you know, is the same in some ways. And so I want to, you know, portray it in a way that's, somebody can look at it and say, yep, I understand that. I've been there, I've done that. And I've even gotten some feedback, Dwight, already from readers that it's been so gratifying about, hey, I can understand a little bit better about now about how my daughters were feeling about the way I was when I was drinking.
I see. Yeah. You know, we love our families and our loved ones that are close to us that have problems like this. But what you're saying through your characters and as you're talking right now, love isn't enough. There have to be professionals involved. And you talked about the faith factor. All of these things, it seems to me, has to come together.
They do. And there has to be, you know, a recognition of the problem and of a need for help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are various ways that takes place. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, that's why I think when I would hear these speakers talk about, you know, the grace of God and the fellowship of AA, I'm telling you, some of the unselfishness that is some of these people engage in for other people that are really struggling,
mm-hmm.
I mean, man, it's inspiring. It's inspiring. The levels that they would go to reach out and help.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like somebody come along just saying, hey, you got a problem, straighten up and do right. It's somebody saying, hey, man, I've been down in that ditch. I know it. And, you know, I can help you up, and I'm here to help you up.
And, you know, Robert, as you say that, it's reminding me the what you're describing there of that particular organization and the people involved and those who have been there and are involved. It's too bad we don't always see more of that in our church communities. And here we have it from a non-church community, and it's a good example, perhaps, to our communities of faith.
That's one of the things I think, that's one of my takeaways. And, you know, of course, you know, anytime you get a group that focuses on one thing, a good thing,
mm-hmm.
just puts their energy in it, you know, a lot of times I really think you see the grace of God come alongside that.
And, yes.
And, of course, you know, there's thousands and thousands of AA meetings across this country meet in churches.
You know, right.
I don't know if it's the most common venue, but I wouldn't be surprised. And you know, hopefully a lot of those folks, you know, they just take the next step across the parking lot. And find, you know, other things that God has available for them. And for many people, you know, while AA is not overtly Christian in its literature, you know, for many, many people, it's, you know, the God of the 12 steps is Jesus Christ.
That's right. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Robert Whitlow. He has written a new book called A House Divided. It's a legal thriller and a very interesting one. Why did you give it this title, A House Divided?
Well, of course, you know, it's based on, you know, the verse that says a house divided will fall, and you know, what Jesus said. And, you know, I think it just communicates the severity of the problem, because I mean, boy, you know what's happening next. If a house divided, there's going to be a great crash. And so, you know, you're wanting the title to communicate, hey, when you pick this book up, there's a real problem these people are facing in this story.
Yes.
You know, this is not just a happy beginning, middle, and end. So,
no.
Yeah.
What do you want people to take away from this book?
Everything you and I have been talking about.
Yeah. I understand.
Really. I mean, it's. I hope it's. I want it to be entertaining. You know, from a story standpoint,
mm-hmm.
This is a page turner. You want to maybe stay up an extra 5 minutes to find out a little bit more. But
sure.
You know, I really want it to be inspiring and of help. You know, if it can be a small, practical help to somebody in their own life or somebody they know, or it's a book that can maybe pass along to somebody that needs help. That would just be awesome.
Robert Whitlow, author of A House Divided. It's a Thomas Nelson publication. Robert, where can people get a copy of this book?
Everywhere. And it's released nationally, all the major stores, all the Christian stores, online, all the online outlets. It's available everywhere. And if it's not, then, you know, tell your bookstore to order it.
Right.
But it should be out there. And, you know, there's more information on my website, which is robertwhitlow.com, W-H-I-T-L-O-W. And, I'm just, thankful for this opportunity that I've had to, address this issue in a way that I just really hope and pray and trust is going to be an encouragement and help.
Robert, thanks for being with us on LifeQuest today.
Thank you.
And once again, the good news is the publisher has provided me with 3 copies of A House Divided by Robert Whitlow. You can get a free copy by sending me an email, giving me your name and address. The email is lifequest@lifetalk.net. Again, for your free copy, to the first 3 who send me an email at lifequest@lifetalk.net. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.